It's the top of the hour, so we'll go ahead and get going. And if some other partners jump on, we will certainly catch them up and get their updates from them as we can. So with that, I'd like to call the June meeting of the South Dakota State Emergency Response Commission to order. And before we begin, I've got a statement to read. I would like to welcome everyone participating in today's meeting or listening online. This meeting is streaming live on SD.net, a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. For the benefit of our online listeners, I request that all participants please identify themselves when speaking during the meeting. Participants should also remember to unmute their microphones only when speaking. The meeting is also being recorded, and the audio will be made available online following the meeting. To find the audio recording online, do a web search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions portal, follow the link, and select the name of the board, which would be the South Dakota State Emergency Response Commission. With that, first item on the agenda is introductions. I think we'll do that in conjunction with roll call. So if we could start with the members, please.
Hey, Dustin, I'm going to apologize right now. We do have a new board secretary, so we are kind of teaching as we go since this will be her first meeting today. And her name is Beth Bigby, so she will be taking over roll call and stuff like that today.
No problem. Pleasure to meet you, Beth, and take your time.
We'll do a roll call here. We'll start with our members. So just go ahead and go over
it. Dave Ackerman.
Good morning, everybody. Dave Ackerman, McPherson County Sheriff, present.
Trish Kine. Good morning, everyone. Trish Kent, present.
Paul Merriman.
Yes, good morning. Paul Merriman, State Fire Marshal's Office, Department of Public Safety.
Tina Titsy.
Tina Titsy, South Dakota Office of Emergency Management, present.
Becky Pitts.
Becky Pitts, representing Poet.
And Dustin Willett.
Dustin Willett, Pennington County Emergency Manager, representing the LEPCs throughout the state. Awesome. So that's everyone, right?
That is everyone for board members. Do we want to go over people on the phone?
Let's start with our federal partners. Who do we have from our federal partners on the call?
Hi, this is Bree Boxbeller. I'm on the call. I'm from APA Region 8. Is there a link that I could be online? Because anything that was sent out doesn't appear to be working. I was wondering if there was maybe another one.
I will send one out.
Okay, awesome. So, yeah, I'm here today and looking forward to giving an update.
Bree, is the Teams not working?
I don't have a Teams link. There was just in the participants, it said click here to join the meeting, but there's no actual link embedded.
Okay.
Thanks, Bree. Any other federal partners online with us? All right. Then anybody else on the line today, with the CERC meeting? Anybody else on the line?
Hi, it's John Grohn. I'm online. I'm with the State Office of Homeland Security, and I supervise the South Dakota Task Force 1.
Awesome. Good morning, John. Anyone else?
Hi.
All right. And when we get down to federal updates, if any of our other partners jump online, we'll catch them then. With that, we'll move on to agenda item number 3, approval of the March 29th, 2022 CERC meeting minutes. I believe those were sent out. I certainly got a copy. If people have had a chance, if the CERC board has had a chance to review those minutes, and if there are no discrepancies, the chair would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll
Becky, I'm going to approve.
I heard Becky first, so I've got a motion from Becky. Do we have a second?
Tidsdale, second.
And Tina for a second. I've got a first and a second. Any discussion on the approval of the March 29th minutes? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Kent?
Aye.
Merriman?
Aye.
Titsy?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Willett?
Aye. Kelsey, Beth, are you guys ready to move into federal updates?
I believe so.
All right, we'll start with Bree from the EPA. Bree, go ahead and enlighten us with any updates from your office. Thank you.
Well, great. Good morning, everyone. Just a couple of updates. You know, we had just sent out our quarterly newsletter. It was, a couple of weeks ago now. So certainly if anyone wants to be added to that mailing list, feel free to let me know, as always. Right now, myself and my colleague Gina Cristiano, we're working on updating our contacts for, you know, just state contacts, but also with our regional response team. So this is something that we try to make sure if there's major responses or disasters or things like that, that there's kind of that governing board that, you know, we can work together, especially that collaboration on more of the larger federal type responses. So right now, I would assume, Trish, you would be our contact for Region 8 taking over for Kim McIntosh. But, you know, we also wanted to see, too, if there were other from Homeland Security or other contacts like that for South Dakota. We want to make sure that we're well-rounded and we have all the players that should be there. So feel free to pass on any of those contacts to me so we can make sure and get you on the next RRT meeting. We're hoping, fingers crossed, that we can do that in person in October. Of course, how things change every day, you never know. So the plans to be in person, if we have to do virtual, then, you know, we'll fall back that on a second. But certainly let me know any contacts there. I had worked just a couple weeks ago with the state of Colorado with the contractor on a pilot workshop for America's Water Infrastructure Act. And this was just kind of working with the LAPC as far as the cradle to grave, what we would do if there was some sort of spill that impaired source water, drinking water source type of thing. That, you know, what would you do? It was kind of, you know, dialed down to the local level, but just to make sure, I know the states had gone through kind of that exercise. Gosh, I think it's been a couple of years back now, but this is trying to pare it down to the local level to see, okay, who makes calls? How does this go through? That type of thing. So, you know, if there's certainly any interest in that or trying to develop that further for the state, you know, certainly let me know and we can try to kind of make that happen as it evolves as well. The Clean Water Act Hazardous Substance Worst Case Discharge Planning Regulations, which for that mouthful is basically what I refer to as FRP for chemicals. Oil facilities have to develop a federal response plan, basically just to, or facility, I'm sorry, response plan. Basically, you know, what would happen in the event of a spill? How do we take care of it? So this is, you know, some draft regulations to see, hey, you know, do we need the same type of thing, but on the chemical side of things. So right now, those are open for comment. The comment period was extended through basically the end of July, July 26th. So we certainly welcome any comments there. You know, if you want to kind of see some of the different actions or things along those lines. So, you know, I could certainly forward on a lot of those links as well. Other than that, I think that's about it for me, unless there are any other questions.
Hey, Bree, on that, and I know it was a mouthful, and I'm not going to try to repeat it, so the chemical FRP.
yeah.
Off the top of your head, you know what some of those thresholds would be for facilities that would fall under those regs?
So at least what is in the draft regulations right now, it would be using the extremely hazardous substance list under CERCLA, but it would be 10,000 times whatever that threshold quantity is. So it would be, and that's what's going to be, in, at least in my opinion, a little tricky implementing that, is that, you know, it's not like oil where it's like you have a sheen or, you know, it's pretty, it's there or it's not. There's going to be varying levels of the chemicals, and each chemical is different. Some are obviously worse in smaller quantities. Other, there's more of a threshold. The biggest thing, and you know, potentially, I guess, for South Dakota too, is there needs to be a nexus to waterways. So it needs to be, you know, roughly within a half mile of some sort of major waterway, drinking water source, that type of thing. So, you know, depending if there's a facility right along the river there, then, you know, that might be looked at with more scrutiny versus something that's maybe out in the middle of nowhere, let's say. So I can, just since there's so many different chemicals, there's 296 chemicals. So, you know, obviously off the top of my head, I can't rattle off each of the different ones, but I know there are charts and things of that, like I gladly forward on, just so you can kind of see a general construct of that.
So just to confirm, was that a 10,000 times threshold quantity just for EHS, or 10,000 times any of the threshold quantities on the list of lists?
So it's the EHS list.
Okay, so just the EHS list, and 10,000 times threshold quantity is kind of a baseline for that. And then proximity to...
That's kind of the working...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And that's kind of the working number right now. You know, for right now, this is all just, you know, kind of proposed regulations, so nothing set in stone. So, you know, that's where we're looking at comments. I know... You know, some people want more of a tighter rein on some of those things. There's the implementation, there's the cost, there's so many different things that we're trying to balance on that. So, you know, that's where we're looking for comment on what's important to you all as the state.
Thank you, Bree. Does any other member of the board have questions for Bree? All right, hearing none. Bree, thank you so much. Always interesting stuff coming out of EPA. As always, we appreciate you attending these meetings so reliably and diligently. Thanks. Any other of our partners join the call? Anybody else from our federal partners?
Hi, Dustin. Yes, it's Fran. How are you doing today?
Hey, Fran. I thought you were leaving us.
I am. Thursday's my last day, so super excited to retire, but you guys are one of my favorite groups that I always love to hear what you're doing, and just wanted to jump in for one last update from CFETS. Craig Conway is also on the call, so he will be covering for me until my replacement is onboarded. That selection has been made, so we're hoping if all goes well, it won't be too big of a gap. So with that, our updates. Yeah.
Really quick before you jump into updates from CISA and CFATS, just for the benefit of our secretary, Beth, could you and Craig introduce yourselves so we can capture that?
Oh, sure. Sorry. So, Fran Santagata, I am the regulatory analyst for CISA within the Chemical Facility Anti-Terrorism Standards Program. And Craig, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Craig Conway. I'm the Senior Chemical Security Inspector for Region 8, including South Dakota, and happy to answer any questions at the end of Fran's updates. Thanks.
Awesome. And sorry to interrupt, Fran, but please continue on with your update.
Yeah, no worries. And just so you know, I did send a copy of my written notes to Kelsey already, so that will make the secretary's job a lot easier. So we have a bunch of cool stuff happening right now. Operation Flashpoint, as I have been updating over the last 4 months, has really taken off. This is the voluntary program that we have been working with in conjunction with the FBI and the Office for Bombing Prevention that we meet with actual retail establishments who sell chemicals that may be used in bomb making. And what we're trying to do is make them aware of what might be suspicious as far as purchasing of these chemicals and potentially other hardware that could be used in bomb-making materials. So we did start out with the beauty supply stores as our initial focus and went out and hit them hard, and then have moved on now to the pool suppliers because of this is the season where they're going to get a lot of folks coming in to buy chemicals that are used for, you know, regular purposes in keeping pools clean, but also can be used in bomb making. And then along with that, we're hitting additional agricultural type retail stores. And so the CSIs go out and they educate the retail establishment salespeople as well as the managerial staff, and they leave behind information to help them identify what it is we're specifically concerned about. And they've been very well received at the establishments that they've already hit. ChemLock is the other voluntary program that has been rolling out since September of last year, actually. And, you know, obviously the downloadable resources are getting lots of traffic. And they've started the actual on-site types of assessments and the training. Now, the training is also available online. The first one that they rolled out was Introduction to Chemical Security. And in the written notes that I provided back to Kelsey, there's a link to get registered for that. And you'll also see all of the future iterations of that that can be joined in on a virtual basis, as well as how to request in-person training. So that's happening for us. The continuing threats that we are seeing, it's still highly focused on the cyber threats, as you know, Dustin. I mean, you're in so many of these different meetings as far as security goes. Ransomware hasn't stopped. There have been heightened attacks to healthcare IT systems. And also SATCOM systems, which are, you know, first responder, really necessary tools, particularly in our mountainous areas around the United States. Obviously, Shields Up is our biggest way to get those resources out to folks to be able to mitigate these threats. And that link also is in my written notes. It is kept up to date on a daily basis because the threats change on a daily basis, unfortunately. The bad guys are looking for any way to get in and create havoc. We also have big news on the Chemical Security Summit front. So a date has been picked. It's August 23rd to the 25th, and it's going to be in a hybrid format this year. It is going to be in person in the National Capital Region. They haven't released the location yet. That is still under contract negotiations. But people will also be able to attend it virtually because everybody understands it's expensive to send a bunch of folks to D.C. For in-person conferences, even though that's always the better experience from my perspective. But it will allow folks to attend sessions that they're interested in virtually and for free. And the website is up with the current information. I don't think that we have started the registration process just yet, but the link to that is also included in my notes. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, Dustin.
Thank you so much. And again, another stalwart, and again, in all of the meetings that we all participate in, but certainly for the South Dakota Emergency Response Commission, on behalf of the South Dakota CERC, thank you so much for everything you've done, not only for Region 8, but for South Dakota and local jurisdictions. And the CERC wishes you nothing but the best in retirement and whatever is next in store for you, Fran. So thank you so much. Any questions or comments for Fran from the board? All right. I would encourage people to look at that summit. Kind of a re-attack. Bree, I'm sorry, really quick. Is there any information on the Western States? Is the Western States CERC-TURC conference next iteration in planning?
So we haven't started planning that just yet. I know Region 9 was hoping to maybe do something perhaps out there, like Clark County, which is outside of Las Vegas. We were supposed to do that, 2019? I'm trying to remember now my years, but maybe it was pre-COVID, 2020. But, trying to maybe look at that again. So you will absolutely be the first to know as we start getting that, but I think we'll start those talks here soon.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
We certainly hope to have it in person again.
Yeah. All right. Any other federal partners? We've had Bree from EPA, there's a lot of background noise. I don't know where that's coming through from. But if anybody can check
We're on that public.
We've got moving going on in our building, so it'll be over soon.
Any other federal partners join us? All right, hearing none. Oh, did I miss something?
Nope, I was just going to say I don't see any others that have joined.
Thank you so much, Kelsey. Moving on to agenda item number 5, election of officers. Do we elect anybody other than the chair? Is that the only elected position for the CERC?
The vice chair as well.
Chair and vice chair. So I will open the floor to nominations for the chair position. So open nominations for chair.
I would nominate Mr. Willett, Sheriff Ackerman.
And I will accept that nomination. Other nominations for chair? I think for Robert's rules, we need to go 3 times. So third and final call, any other nominations for chair for the CERC? And correct me if I'm wrong, Kelsey, I think this is a 1-year term?
Two-year
term. Sure it is.
Those 2 years have flown by, haven't they, Dustin?
Yes, it certainly has. So third and final call for nominations for chair. Hearing none, we'll close nominations, and as there's only one nomination, the chair will accept a motion to cease nominations and cast a unanimous ballot for myself to continue on as chair for another 2 years. Anybody want to make that motion?
Tinsy will make the motion.
Thank you, Tina. Second?
Second.
Tinsy, I'll second.
Was that Paul? Did you chime in there? All right. Paul Merriman is the second. Roll call vote, please.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Kent?
Aye.
Merriman?
Aye.
Tizzy?
Aye.
And Pitts?
Aye.
Yeah, and I should have formally abstained from that prior to. I apologize for not making that comment. All right. Happy to continue serving in this capacity. Thank you all very much. I will open the floor for nominations for vice chair for the South Dakota State Emergency Response Commission.
Modesta, this is Trish. I'm going to nominate Paul Merriman.
So I've got a nomination from Trish Kent for Paul Merriman. Paul, will you accept the nomination?
I will.
I heard "I will" loud and clear. It resounded and echoed off the wall. That was strong and forceful. All right, so we've got a nomination for Paul. Paul will accept that nomination. Second call for nominations for vice chair. Third and final call, nominations for vice chair of the CERC. Third and final call. Hearing none, the board would accept, or chair will accept a motion.
Tizzy will make the motion.
All right, and I believe that motion is going to be to close nominations and cast unanimous ballot for Paul Merriman for vice president. Is that correct?
Correct.
You have a second for that?
Second by Dave.
Thank you, Dave. We'll do a roll call vote.
Ackerman.
Aye.
Kint.
Aye.
Titsy.
Aye.
Pitts.
Aye.
Willett.
Aye. That bus felt a little lighter the second go around. All right. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Paul. Looking forward to a couple of years. Moving on to number six, TRI, Toxic Release Inventory Report Submittals. Is this going to be you, Kelsey?
It sure is. So as a reminder, the TRI reports are annual reports from facilities that manufactures, imports, processes, or otherwise uses any EPCRA Section 313 chemical in quantities greater than the established threshold in the course of a calendar year. The facilities are required to submit their report to the federal EPA and to the CERC. The reports summarize emissions, discharges, waste sent to landfills, material sent for recycling or off-site treatment. Those reports are due July 1st. So far this morning, we have received reports from 72 facilities. So I suspect we'll still be getting a few more reports coming up here within this week. But majority have been reported, as we usually get about 100 reports a year. I am not sure if we still have facilities that are struggling from COVID, if they have not reached all of the requirements for the reporting. So hopefully we'll see some more reports come in soon. And that's all I had for the TRI reports.
Thank you, Kelsey. Any questions for Kelsey from the board regarding TRI report submittals? Hearing none, moving on to agenda item number seven, regional hazmat team update for Homeland Security, Mr. John Grone. Did we lose
John,
you,
John? John, if you are speaking, you're on mute.
Do you see him on your list there, Kelsey?
I do.
All right, John. If you're having technical difficulties, we'll catch you up when you're able to get back to us. But right now, we're not able to hear you. With that, and Rhett, I think we missed you on introductions, but agenda item number eight, HMEP, Hazardous Materials Emergency Preparedness, Grants, Training, and Planning Report. I believe I see Rhett back there from OEN. So one, if you would introduce yourself so we can capture you, and then two, your report on HMEP.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Rhett Howard. I'm the HMEP Grant Administrator with the South Dakota Office of Emergency Management. Not a lot of requests this last quarter for reimbursement. There's actually none in HMEP 19. There was one request from Rapid City Fire and Rescue for TEKS training. That's HMEP 20. That's $8,409.16. There's another request for HMEP 21 from Davidson County for hazmat technician for surface transportation in the amount of $6,616.59. Total request for this last 12 weeks or so has been approximately $15,000. I talked with Aberdeen Fire and Rescue this morning. They will be submitting three requests for reimbursement this next week for HMEP 21. I do anticipate many more requests for reimbursement for HMEP 21 in the next 60 days as we're closing on our deadline. The deadline for the three-year grant cycle, HMEP 19 through 21, is September 30th. That's about all I have to report for reimbursement requests. I will have explanation on this note here. I have admin fees are not computed into these HME grant totals, but I believe going forward I will include these admin costs in the quarterly HME fee report. So that's about all I have, Dustin.
Sounds good, Rhett. Thank you. Just a quick question on, since we're wrapping up the 3 year on 19, what's the balance left in 19, and does it look like we're going to get the reimbursements that we need for that 19 allocation or the reimbursement requests?
We're very close, Dustin. We're about $6,300 from a total of $143,249. So we're getting close on 19. So like I said, all 3 years are due on September 30th. So as long as they get those activities completed before September 30th, we can reimburse after September 30th, but they have to have the activities completed before that, that last day in September.
Good copy. Thank you, Rhett. Any questions from board members for Rhett regarding HMEP? Hearing none. John, were you able to join us again?
Yeah, hi, Dustin. Sorry, my wireless mouse chose a very inopportune time to go dead. But now we're fresh battery later. Well, it actually happened this time. So we have a lot of training going on this year in the regional response teams. We're in the process of updating our hazmat technician recertification manual, which is about a three-year process. We hope to have it wrapped up this fall. And we're also purchasing some additional training props for the regional hazmat training trailer. We have radiation detection training in Aberdeen in October, some cameo training in Aberdeen in December. We're trying to line up Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway's hazmat response training in October and November for Aberdeen, Watertown, Sioux Falls, and Rapid City. We have some red wave gas detection monitor training in Rapid City in August. Let's see, we have USAR and hazmat training scheduled during the Sturgis Rally. That'll be going on from August 4th through the 9th. We also have some hazmat IQ and advanced IQ hazmat training, which is training that's really geared towards the initial arriving first responders. It lays out a really simple algorithm to follow to set up a proper response for a chemical response. We have structure collapse 1 and 2 training in Sioux Falls for a week-long class in September. And we've also got week-long USAR training in Aberdeen at the end of August, beginning of September. And we're currently working with USD. They have 2 residence halls that they're going to be raising, and we're trying to get the ability to go in there and do some breach break, shoring training, get our new live find air scent search dog in there for doing some large building training for him. And like these are very unique opportunities for us that are kind of once in a career opportunity for some of our task force members. So we're real hopeful that we get to go ahead to get in there. We made a proposal to USD that we would allow their journalist classes to come in and do mock interviews with our team members, and also from the medical side of the house, they could do some moulage and some triage and stuff like that. So we're hopeful that we get into there sometime in September, October. And other than that, that's about all we got going on.
That's all. That's fantastic. What an awesome training tempo and some really cool opportunities. I hope that materializes. Thank you very much, John. I will add that I think out of your meetings there, I think Trapper Lappy, Captain Lappy, brought that forward. We're also going to look at potentially bringing MERIT, which is the Module Emergency Response Radiological Transportation Training. Talk about a mouthful. But looking at maybe bringing that in early next year out here in Rapid City, that certainly yep. We would expect that the Task Force One folks would take up quite a few of those slots. So we'll see how
yeah,
that
we sure hope
out.
To.
Yep. So that's cool. And just for the general knowledge, it's not necessarily South Dakota Task Force One, but we do have exercises going on this morning, all day today, and even in through Thursday out here West River with the 82nd Civil Support Team, Ellsworth Ordnance Disposal, EOD, and the Rapid City Hazmat Team, and a lot of local first responders, all centered around Clandestine Lab, Chem Bio, Army North is up running those exercises out of Texas. So that's the rest of my day up here. So awesome report, John. Lots of great stuff going on. Thank you for that. Any questions from board members for Mr. Grohn regarding Task Force 1? All right, hearing none, back to agenda item number 9, outreach from DANR regarding CERC and some other things. Ms. Kelsey Newing.
Yeah, so our department has a few things on our agenda for outreach this year. Normally what we do for outreach are the workshops that we hold every summer for our facilities. However, this year we're going to be reaching out to LAPCs. So Trish will be giving a presentation this year at the South Dakota Emergency Management Association conference in Huron. The presentation is going to cover South Dakota's spill reporting requirements, followed by a discussion highlighting initial response recommendations and suggestions. We will also have a booth set up at that conference to talk to various county EMs and staff from the Office of Emergency Management and answer any questions that they may have. For anything department-wide as we're there. I will also be doing outreach to the LAPCs starting this year. We do have a plan that I will attend a meeting for each of our active LAPCs once every 3 years or as they get a new county EM. I will be meeting with these county emergency managers and discuss the struggles that they have with their LAPC and anything they would like me to discuss during their meeting. Mostly, I will be focusing on spill reporting, using the Tier 2 data, or going over the database, or even getting people signed up into the database as they are members and are able to have access to our database. We'll also discuss a little bit about the expectations of an LAPC and the role that they play in keeping their county safe. So we'll just kind of be going over not-so-brief overview of kind of everything that an LAPC needs to be considered active, you know, what they need to be doing to applying for these LAPC grants and things like that. So if anybody has any suggestions as to what would be a good thing to discuss at these LAPC meetings, I'm open to ideas for that, as I'm not sure what most LAPCs are struggling with at this time. And if anybody has any questions about our outreach, Trish and I will be happy to answer those.
Thank you, Kelsey. Do any board members have initial questions or suggestions for Kelsey or Trish with the outreach program? Hearing none, again, give it some thought and please communicate with them regarding, again, how DANR and the CERC can best support those local efforts. And I think as long as we approach this with the intent to support and improve how LEPCs can serve their constituents, the geographies and the counties that they serve, I think it'll be a good thing. I'm also encouraged that we're going to, you know, look at state law and what those requirements are and make sure that we're adhering to what we have currently codified and then looking at whether or not that's appropriate or whether that needs to be adjusted in the future. So thank you. And again, if anyone has input or comments for Kelsey or Trish as they embark on this, please let them know. Anything else for the good of the order, 1 through 9, before we move on to the last part of our meeting here? All right, public comment period. Do we have any members from the public that wish to make a comment? Hearing none, under other business, Trish has been, again, a fixture in these meetings since before I was attending these meetings. Super awesome to have her officially sit on the board. So welcome, and like I said, you've been you've been basically with the CERC longer than I've even known the CERC existed. So great to have you, Trish, in your new capacity. Welcome, Beth. Excited to have you work on in your role with the CERC. So I will get those minutes signed and back to you. And then any other board members have other business?
Dustin, Tina Titsy, Office of Emergency Management. Just a comment, if anyone is interested in the recent FEMA National Advisory Council recommendations, that report and the response from FEMA Administrator Criswell is out on the website. You just need to Google FEMA National Advisory Council and you can see the latest recommendations and FEMA's responses to that if you're interested. So, thank you.
I am interested. I will absolutely check that out. Super cool. And for those that don't know, Director Titsy sits on that board, so or that council. So that's fantastic. Other business from the board. So I think the last thing would be our next meeting, and I believe the next time we get together typically is in person at the South Dakota Emergency Managers Conference in September. Is that something we're still looking to pull off, Kelsey?
Yep. So we have a spot that has been reserved for us. So we will be meeting in person in September at the EMA conference. The meeting will be on that Tuesday, September 13th at 5:15 at the Crossroads in Huron.
I look forward to seeing everybody there. Thank you very, very much. And unless there's any other business, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Go move by Dave.
Dave, I've got a first, second.
Kent, second.
Kent, and I believe that means we stand as adjourned.